Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Tyler, right here on ESPN 97.5. Our Heels going to join us at 9 o'clock. What's going on, boys?
Ready to get into it. Ready to get into it today.
What are you in studio?
No. I'm here at I'm off site. So oh. I'm off site today, but same old, same old.
Your internet is better?
Well, I have power this morning.
Oh, you didn't have power?
No, not yesterday. So.
We lost water yesterday for some reason.
Oh, just working on stuff probably. We got a massive thing going on in our neighborhood, so I'm expecting it to get pretty bad in the neighborhood at some point when they get to our side, because that's all they're doing is changing out a bunch of pipes and stuff like that. Because we're in an old neighborhood, so, I mean, there's constantly, once a month, all of a sudden you see a sidewalk where water's just, you know, shooting out of the sidewalk because there's a pipe broken underneath. So
That's always like, nice.
Yeah, it's 50-year-old pipes.
And you've had plenty of construction on Richmond and Westheimer in your neighborhood.
Not Richmond so much.
Actually,
I have. Yeah, I take that back. We did have a lot on Richmond for a while, and it made it a lot better. So actually, Richmond, Westheimer's a big one. But yeah, I forgot about that. Richmond was earlier.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I have no sense of time. I don't know if today is Wednesday or Thursday. I have no idea.
Today's Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah, because
of Tyler. Tyler's Tuesday, right. Thursday. That's the only way I would know. There is no sense. There's no marker. I don't watch. There's not games on certain days. There's not TV shows. I don't do that anymore where, hey, this show comes on Wednesdays. I don't watch network television at all anymore. I can watch whatever show I want whenever I want it. So it really, there are no games. So I don't have any sense of time. And the weekends aren't any different than the weekdays. They're the exact same. I just wake up a little later. That's all. What's different?
Well,
the kids are home?
No.
Is that different?
For me, it's where we're playing today.
For the rest of us, it's the same thing over and over every single day.
Yeah.
It is just like, same thing. There is no difference. So
yesterday we played Wildcat. It was great because you know they got crown fairways and all that rain went away. We were driving on the course in the afternoon, so no cart path only, which could have been devastating. So that's the good news.
I was at my house with kids and doing having drinks, because drinking is a thing now, and drinking heavily is a thing.
Drinking,
that's the thing.
I've got
some things happening in my house that I don't love anymore. I'm like, now this is not a good thing. We got to get this thing cleaned up because this is not good. And I'm sure it's not even that way. I'm sure it's that way for a lot of people. You're like, ooh, this isn't good. So who knows? Every day is the same day. Every Wednesday, Tuesday, Saturday, Sunday. What's the difference? What is the literal difference between a Sunday and a Wednesday?
So I've got a pyramid.
I'm not doing Amway, John. No.
This is a different kind of pyramid.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Levels of incompetence, and it's levels of incompetence because they misspelled it. So this person who put it together must be really uncomfortable. But the blue level at the top, it's the right intuition. And so you have unconscious competence because you have the right intuition. Then next, it's right analysis. You have conscious competition. That's the green area. It's a little bit bigger. But then you have the wrong analysis, and you have conscious incompetence. Wrong intuition and wrong analysis leads to unconscious incompetence, which this guy said is where Bill O'Brien is right now. Unconscious incompetence,
but misspelled competence.
Right. Well,
I don't know that I can pay any attention to that. Then.
Well, at the top, but then it was spelled correctly throughout.
The irony's too thick.
Hierarchy of competence. So, if you have the wrong analysis and the wrong intuition, then you have the worst combination, and you have unconscious incompetence. And I'm afraid because you told us, you said, you know, they had the shoppers, you know, they were unaware. What kind of shoppers were they?
Inexperienced shoppers.
They're inexperienced shoppers. And it's which means that they have bad analysis, and they have a level, and their incompetence has a level of they don't even know that they're doing things incorrectly, right?
Right.
So that's the worst combination, that you can have. And actually, this guy's in the medical profession, and he says those are the worst in surgery. Those are the people that you really want to, and they're in there. But you really, really want to stay away from them. Yeah, and I don't want Bill O'Brien performing surgery for me, if you want to know the truth.
No.
No. No.
And I definitely don't want him building a roster.
No,
probably more so than, yeah. Well, probably for me, more so than the surgery thing is the roster building.
Right.
For me.
Right.
I'd rather him do a surgery than build my roster.
Well, not a surgery.
That's
on
the way I
feel
about
know.
It. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean.
No. Well, maybe even someone you dislike, but not someone you like.
Is it just on the knee? I mean, what kind of surgery are we talking about?
Yeah, well, no.
You can go in and do more surgeries.
You can kill someone.
Okay, you can ruin a roster.
Knee surgery.
Not if everything's clean. You'll have somebody with him. He's going to have a staff with him.
You don't think that there's Bill O'Brien performing surgery that you could get MRSA somehow?
No, I don't. Not if the hospital's clean. Now, if you tell me that Bill O'Brien has no nurses and he just has James Lipford, Russ Joyner, Jack Easterby, and the list of everyone that he gives when he doesn't want full responsibility if things go wrong, you do know that's what he does every time
right?
Every time it's like, Bill, how much harder was it for you in this process of being general manager and head coach? Once again, it's a team that would do this. It's James Lipford. Let me go down the list. It's James Lipford. But you're the decision maker. Like, how hard, much harder is it for you? Once again, we all make these bad decisions. We all make these decisions. So it's not just my fault. Like, wait, why are you using these words, fault? And are you trying to set this up to where you don't take as much of the blame? Is this what we're doing here?
No.
Yeah, it's the most obvious thing I've ever seen in the world. Every time somebody asks a pointed question that general manager Bill O'Brien is supposed to answer, he completely passes on it and gives you the list. He pulls out his laminated card, said, here's a list of everyone else who's also responsible for this. My responsibility is 1/6 when you consider that Russ Joyner, James Lipford, Matt Barzinigan or whatever. There's Jack Easterby. Cal's got some say-so in this. Janice. Weave, Anthony Weaver. You got to put this on his shoulders too. Some of this. Why are we putting this on his shoulders for the Randall Cobb deal? What does that have to do with Anthony Weaver? It's we all do this. We all do this, Brian.
What about Timmy?
Yeah, everybody. Okay, it's not just me. This is a team. We're flat.
We're not flat. So.
So you're not responsible for all this. No. Mostly, I'm 1/10 of this, if anything.
I feel so bad for Russell Joyner. Because, honestly, if you put on your resume that you were the analytics guy for Bill O'Brien, there is no one, I don't know anyone that would go, man, I got to hire that guy. I mean, he can't work anymore. So if I'm him, I'm like, Bill, please, if you don't mind, don't mention my name anymore. That'd be great. I don't want any credit.
You're taking some of the blame on this too.
No. I don't want any of your credit. Bill thinks he's giving out credit to everybody. What he's really doing is killing careers.
Yeah.
You're the analytics guy that thought that DeAndre Hopkins for a second rounder and David Johnson was a good idea. Wow.
He's just making sure that other people have the blame too.
Yeah.
If he sets it up, you can't do that later. His thought is if I set it forth early on and I say that we have a structure of 6 different people who are doing this or 5 different people, then I only get a smaller percentage of the blame. If I have, because the credit is going to come naturally. If he you know, if he waits until when things get really bad and starts mentioning everybody, and, hey, it's everybody, then it's going to sound like blaming. I mean, for me, it already does sound like that, although it's positioned like, hey, this is a team effort. That's how it's positioned. But I know why he's doing it. I know why it's out there. Ultimately, he should be a buck stops here guy. If you're going to be head coach and GM, you're the buck stops here guy. That we know right now exactly where it stops. So you can stop mentioning every single time a question's asked. You can quit mentioning all those other guys. Just answer the question and stop giving us a laundry list of everybody who works in a department. That's irrelevant. That's not even the answer to a question. But every single question gets met with a laundry list of people as opposed to just an answer. I want the GM to answer questions. If you can't do it, then put Jack Easterby there, whatever. Put the preacher there and let him answer the questions.
And what kind of and you believe what he's selling half the time anyway?
No.
So it doesn't matter. I mean, this is just so terrible that this is our. I mean, I don't remember in a town. You know, I watching the documentary, the Jordan documentary, when Jerry Krause walked out before the '98 season, and it was dead silent after 15 years and five championships with the organization, the general manager got zero applause, and he did an excellent job.
He really did.
He did an excellent job. Yeah. I mean, he was unbelievable. But I always remember, even you know, back in growing up, that Jerry Krause was just thought of as a buffoon. He was just thought of as a little, you know, because of his stature and the way he looked. And when he was dancing on that airplane, it was just like, oh, Jerry, don't do this. And then they were all laughing at him. And it was so unbelievable. If you had five titles, Jerry Krause should be on the Mount Rushmore of greatest GMs ever, what he put together. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. And, you know, yet he was thought of. I can't think of any other time when I think of a general manager of, I guess there have been other general managers that have been so lowly thought of, but Bill O'Brien is hitting like is reaching a level that I've never seen before
in a single year. Like
yeah.
it's staggering how many of his moves are universally panned. I mean it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. But and some of them just behind the scenes are really bad deals. Like they don't make sense. They show the inexperience, honestly. Mm-hmm. Even if the games haven't been played, there's just people in the business just can't believe how inexperienced a move is. It's not even close to being what a standard move should be. The Jerry Krause thing. Do I have time? Yeah, I got a second here. I feel bad for Jerry Krause, and I'll tell you why. I'd kind of forgotten about what kind of architect he was for that team. When you really think about it, and then the documentary has really opened things up that I wasn't aware of. Jerry Krause understood the importance of Phil Jackson. Yes, Phil Jackson was pushed out after mm-hmm. what, 8 years with Chicago Bulls and six championships? Nine years and six championships, Phil Jackson was pushed out the door. And I understand that Krause, you know, deserves a lot of heat for that. But you know, he also deserves credit for recognizing Phil Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
The story goes that he's the one that recognized
him. Yeah, he brought him in.
He's the one that.
He got rid of Doug Collins and brought Phil in. After a second time, after Phil screwed up the first interview, he realized how good Phil Jackson would be, and then he put him on the bench, and then he had to fire Doug Collins, who had just taken his team to the Eastern Conference Finals.
You didn't mention a part where he had to tell Phil Jackson how to dress for his interview with Jerry Reinsdorf.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a major, major part of this. And then Scottie Pippen making a draft day trade. Like, Jerry Krause was really... And I feel badly for him because all of us who do anything in life for any amount of time, and you and I have been doing radio for quite a while, I do the other draft stuff, I'm a dad, you're a dad, like we all want to have, you know, you think about what your legacy, at some point in your life you start thinking, I wonder what my legacy is going to be. Legacy just means what people think. That's really all that is. Your legacy can be what you've done, and it should be. However, as you see with Jerry Krause, it's really about what people think of you because mm-hmm. Jerry Krause's legacy is actually very, very good. It has a very bad ending, and he had a very uneven and frankly bumpy relationship with the greatest player that's ever played the game. And that's what people remember most. But the legacy actually is much better than that, only the perception won't allow it to be the case. And I feel badly for him as somebody who really came from another sport and put together one of the great dynasties in modern basketball history. He's not remembered that way. And no. I just feel kind of bad for him because he's taken all the heat that he deserves, and he was insecure and all that stuff. That ended up, I don't want to say it ruined the Bulls. I just think it maybe stopped them prematurely from taking L's. I can tell you this, Michael Jordan might be 6-2 in NBA Finals. He might not be 6-0 had Jerry Krause been a little bit more secure with himself.
Yeah, or Michael could have won a couple more if they'd have just kept it together. Who knows? Who knows? I mean, not the years.
I don't think Rodman could have stuck around much longer. He was already.
Yeah, no, but hey, listen. He found him. He found Horace Grant. He found, by the way, he wanted to come and win a title. I think they might have been able to find a power forward that could have helped. That's for sure.
Tony Kukoc. He found
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he got Tony Kukoc.
It's a shame.
And Tony Kukoc has got some quotes. Man, nobody had it rougher than I did with joining that team.
Man. They treated Tony like crap.
That's coming up. So it'll be interesting. The Dream Team, the behind the scenes of the Dream Team is coming up this weekend. So that's going to be. I can't wait to see that. All right, let's talk about, you know what else I can't, here's the deal. I love these guys. I love the Chastangs. I love Patrick and Joe, and they're awesome people, and you're going to find out that they are too. And it's rare that you're going to deal with the owners of a dealership, but chances are you will be. Chances are at some point you're going to get to know the Chastangs, and that's the kind of family business that you're going to be joining the Chastang family. And that's what they want me to say that all that you're joining the Chastang family, because that's what they feel like it is. You're in the family. When they do more referral and return business, 85% of their business was this way. Hopefully we're getting the word out, and it's going to just keep on growing and growing and growing, and you're going to refer and you're going to return. I know I am. It is just awesome. The deals that they've got, you can shop virtually. You don't have to go there. You don't have to touch anything. They'll pick up your car, and they'll service it, and they'll sanitize it, and they'll bring it back to you. The service is second to none at Chastang Ford. But also the price, and nothing down, no financing for 0% financing for 84 months, no payments for 6 months. It's so good, so good, so good. You're looking to get out of that vehicle and get into one now. Well, all you have to do is go to ChastangFord.com. 5 minutes from downtown on 610 Homestead, not Hempstead. It's Chastang Ford.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you.
That's awesome.
That's just sick. However, it does mean less pee time for the hosts.
I can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with this. ESPN 97.5.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
Ew. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Okay, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Did something happen with James Comey? Did I miss it? Our president just tweeted out, "Dirty cop James Comey got caught," all caps, with an exclamation point. So I know he's serious. I know he's serious about that. Something happened with James Comey. Maybe. I don't know. I also see that, this is nice. 7 sex offenders released from custody in California. Hopefully they stay there. They look like... Now... These are the face. These guys, they look like sex offenders. I don't know what that means, but they do. They just look like it. And, man, it's scary. The people are being let out of prisons all over. I would think that you could, you know what, just stay in your cell so you don't catch any of the Roni. It just seems to me that everybody being released is a bad thing. I don't know. 713-780-3776. I just don't know enough about it, but I do know that those guys look like sex offenders in California.
Well, are they, or are you just guessing?
No, they're sex offenders released from custody, and they
okay.
They look like it.
Yeah, I would. I think you got to just keep bad people in jail.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't
it
know.
Is what it is. You can't just release the violent criminals or rapists, sex offenders. I mean, I don't know. Seems common sense.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I don't. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
713-780. You don't know that sex offenders need to stay.
I do. I feel that way. I really, really do. I really do.
It feels like you're just, I don't know. I don't know where I land on rapists staying in prison.
No, I'm all about it. I'm all about that. Yeah, I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm for that. I'm for murderers staying there.
Murderers and rapists, yeah.
Yeah, violent criminals, I'm for them staying here, even during a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about a 70% mortality right now. It's a little lower than that. So maybe we just have to try to be all as careful as we can. I understand. I'm not saying I'm not aware of how difficult that is. But I talked to a friend of mine who's involved with everything that's going on in the county. He's like, man, we ended up having to release some bad people, some really bad people. He goes, I'm not talking about people buying weed. I'm talking about there were some bad people that got released because of a certain mandate. He goes, I don't know that I feel super comfortable with that.
No, I'm all about keeping the bad people away from everybody else. That's why they're away. Yeah. But, you know, weed people who are smoking some weed and they get thrown in jail, let them out. You know what? They can smoke weed wherever they want. I don't care. It's amazing how... Isn't it something you wouldn't think, but leagues are really easing up on it now, on the weed thing.
Oh yeah,
isn't it? I mean, it's the smart thing. Guys like to smoke some weed. Oh well, I mean, and you know what? There's a lot of athletes that like to do that as opposed to just going out and getting wasted, drunk and wasted. And you know what? If you want to know the truth, if I'm an owner now. I think the thought is, well, let's not forget it's a bunch of old white guys that own teams for the most part, and maybe they have very little experience with weed. Probably very little experience, but I think one of the biggest things that I've always heard is they just feel like guys will be lethargic if they're weed smokers.
Well,
and they don't want players that are lethargic.
Well, it is a problem for some of those guys, and it depends on how they use. And talking to some teams who say, you know, the biggest misconception out there that has been out there forever is weed is not addictive, right? Okay, well, physically, there's a physical and a psychological, and there are plenty of guys that they say who just can't stop. They're just psychologically, they have to. It is what it is. They got to have it every day. Like that's why they piss hot, quote unquote, when it comes to a pee test for at the combine. They can't. There's just guys who can't stop themselves, and those are the ones that concern the league. Not the guys that just, you know, on occasion recreationally or whatever. They don't concern the league. That doesn't. And most guys are not smoking. I know that it likes to be positioned like. Most of the guys only do this because of they're in pain and pain management. No, most of the guys have been smoking weed for a long time.
Yeah.
If you really want to know the truth, since high school, this is not for pain management. It can turn into that, or some guys will start it. That's part of it too. But a lot of this, and some of it is recreational, but there are some guys that they worry about. And there are some guys that they know if you got a problem with it, they're not messing with you. You know, if you're smoking before games or whatever, they're not messing with you.
No. Well, that
if you're drinking that, before games, anything
yeah, right.
that is going to be a mind altering substance before a game, teams are not in favor of.
No, listen, I don't know how you drink before a game, but it happens. It's happened and it's happened
oh, yeah.
plenty.
Did I tell you that we could? So one of the Houston Texans said that they could smell like they knew it was the. The worst kept secret was Maurice Claret had a water bottle full of vodka. That was the worst kept secret in football because they said on the field, it said his name was on the water bottle, and they said you could smell it. Just it was everyone knew. And when they scrimmaged here in Houston, some of the Texans, when the Broncos did, some of the Texans said, "Ooh, my goodness, how is that, man? But their thought was that Maurice had had drinks, like had been drinking before the scrimmage started. And they're like, how in the world are you drinking vodka at 7-something in the morning? Because you remember, John, we were back in the day, we were out at the at that joint practice with 6-10 when we were 6-10. And I'll never forget it. That's where I met Adam Schefter. He had his man sandals on, and John McClain introduced me to him. He's with the Denver Post. And then it wasn't until later where people said, no, it was an entire water bottle full of vodka is what he would have. I don't know how in the world you play football like that.
Mm-mm.
In the Texas in August heat.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Unbelievable.
I turn into it's like a cotton ball. Just the water's gone for me. If I have drinks or if I have those shots when I'm at Riel, boy, that just leads to some of the worst headaches because there's no water in my body. Just gone.
Right. 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6. 7-28. We got some weird stories today. Not much sports going on yesterday. Yesterday was a pretty slow day as far as sports go, but that's okay because we're here. We still got stuff, plenty of stuff to talk about. 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6. If there's anything that you want to talk about, you're more than welcome to get in. Especially this is a holiday show because this is a different kind of day, Lance. Like you said. It's not today. Is not like every other day. Today is a very, very special day.
No. What's the holiday? Today is the holiday of being like a Tuesday.
Yeah, today's going to be a beautiful day in the city. Do you see? There's no rain clouds. Do you see how the sun is drying up all the golf courses? That's what the beautiful day is today. Okay.
You know how I know when it's Sunday? The only way I know it's Sunday is when my wife is super disappointed with my kids because they have acted so horrifically during online mass. That's the way I know when things are a Sunday.
That's a like, Sunday.
Is my wife really mad about the kids wearing their pajamas all day long and even when they're outside playing? And, well, there's only a couple who do that. And then not paying attention during mass and, in fact, getting into a fist fight. Ooh, we had a big fist fight between Mason and Snacks. It turned into we had a real problem at the house.
Oh, I could see that.
Real problem.
Oh, I could see those two attitudes clashing.
Banging heads against a fence, punching in the face. Like it was a street fight, and I had to. They're lucky that I didn't see them. I told both of them that, and I told Mason, I said, let me tell you, if I saw you, I'd have snatched you both up by your necks and just smashed you together like my daddy. He goes, well, then you would have been arrested. I said, what? What? I would have been arrested. The word snitch came out, and then it got really. The fact that he told me I would have been arrested.
Right. I will have you arrested, sir.
Excuse me?
Good day, sir.
Oh, that necessitated very long talks that were very energetic.
Right. All I've had.
Then you would be arrested. I would. Would I? I don't feel like I'd be arrested.
All I've had so far is Frankie drinking all the wine, and I'm like, hey, where's the rest of the wine? Oh, I drank it. Oh, Frankie, you're day drinking now. That's a sad, sad state. Dad, I've always day drank. Oh, okay. But usually it's with friends. Now it's just all alone.
You have things like that. What's the? I mean, as long as she's not driving, what do you care?
No, she's in her room playing The Sims or watching Housewives of New York.
I bought these incredible.
We got to take a break. We'll talk about it. On the other 7:31 ESPN.
What? We want to take one of our 1 minute breaks where we can't even pee?
No, you can't even pee during these breaks. That's how short they are.
This is a 2 minute break.
2 minute break. Well, one of the minutes is about John Clay Wolf. Is he here?
No, he's not. No answer.
No answer for John Clay Wolf. Well, there is an answer for John Clay Wolf. He'll answer you. He doesn't answer us, but he'll answer you if you go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. And he's still got plenty of money to buy your car. Now, your car isn't worth as much as it was. Sorry, that's just the case. But you're still going to get more from John Clay Wolf than you're going to get wherever else you try to sell it. This is just something that happens every day. John Clay Wolf. Now, I don't know that CarMax is still in business. I don't know if they're buying cars because They're, I don't know that their dealerships are open so that they can sell them. I'm not sure what's going on with CarMax, if you want to know the truth. I do know John Clyde Wolf has said, hey, I'm like one of the only ones left open. But he's trying to give you as much, and he will give you as much as he possibly can. But the fact of the matter is, it's like any businessman. He can't just take loss after loss after loss. He kind of what he does is he buys them, and then he sells them at auction. And what you got to do, and he makes pennies on the dollar because he pays more than everybody else. So here's the deal. He will still pay you more. It's just not as much as it used to be. And but if you got to get out of that car, you still got to call him and find out what you can get. What's the most you can get for your car? Go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. You started to tell a story. Did you want to tell something?
No, it's not that big a deal. I just saw an entire 10-pack of tortillas disappear in 2 hours. Snacks had five of them because they were butter tortillas, and they were tortillas that are handmade, like still warm at a Kroger. And man. He ate five. I didn't get any. I specifically got these because I wanted some, and they were gone in two hours.
That's what a family does. That's what does.
What are you talking about? We didn't even have tacos. They just ate them. They just pulled them out and ate them in 2 hours. You shouldn't have five tortillas ever. An 11-year-old child should never eat five tortillas.
Yes, yes.
In 30
when
minutes.
I was a kid, when the Oreos were brought home, we got
tortillas?
They were half the pack was gone, and
that's Johnny, Oreos.
And Johnny boy ate them. Okay, and oh well, that they're gone. And so what? And what are you going to do? Okay, because that's what I wanted to do. That's what I wanted to eat.
Then don't complain about Frankie drinking all the wine.
Johnny boy. I'm fine. I'm fine with Frankie drinking all the wine.
So Anthony Fauci was interviewed. There was a an article, and one of the things he said is that
Frankie probably needs to slow down on her wine consumption.
No. Yeah, he didn't say. Well, he would if he knew.
If he knew Frankie,
but that could have been. He could have said that in last August.
Right.
I mean, it might. I don't think the pandemic has anything to do with it. Right. But
she's transitioned more to wine, though, now that she's here, because that's,
I got you.
That's what's readily available.
I got you.
By the way, I got another shipment from Frank yesterday. I'm going through the bull, Frankie the Bull.
Yeah.
Holy crap, what a great prices he's got. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's the way to go.
I mean, and that's unfortunate, and I don't think everybody could call Frankie, but if you know Frank, call him, because he's got unbelievable prices on wine. Okay.
Solus made a huge order, as a matter of fact. But Fauci was talking yesterday about sports, and he's pretty much saying the same. I don't think this is going to change. I think his tune on sports is you're just going to have to pass on sports for 2020 until we can get instant testing, until that can be done.
Yeah.
It just can't, because the people who are going to need to run it, you're not going to be able to. If this were a video game simulation, you could easily get rid of coronavirus. You say, okay, everyone play sports inside. I mean, everyone play, and then you get tested once, and then you are kept in the same in the same location, and no one new is introduced to you. And in a simulation, it would work great, and you could play sports, and it wouldn't be a problem with no fans. But realistically, humans do not always work in their own best interest, and they have other desires and needs and wants. And so I don't think you could ever say, I don't think there's any sports organization or franchise where you could say, where guys who are in their 20s are going to say, oh yeah, I'll do exactly what you're asking me to do. This is not going to happen. I mean, they're not going to stay inside of a quarantine area. They're going to go out, they're going to take chances, and then they could bring the chances back. That's been going on for men in their early 20s, and in their 20s will take chances that they should not take. What? That's new. No, that's not new. Said every guy, every single guy in the world says that. But so that's why you can't. That's why it's a pie in the sky.
Well, here's I think with fans, I don't think there's any question about it. But I think that we're finding out from South Korea that it might be working out.
Only baseball.
Yeah, right. That baseball.
Basketball
is
a sweat and touch sport.
Yes, right. I contact sports where you're on top of. I think
baseball
NBA
could do
NBA
it.
Just take your losses this year.
Yep.
I mean, I just don't see that.
It's not, it's not coming back.
Everybody
they don't want to come back.
The one thing that we need to do is social distance, and the one thing that you need to do in basketball is bring 10 huge human beings inside of this confined area where they're sweating on top of each other. Mm-hmm. It is the anti-social distancing sport. I mean, I don't think there's any sport that was created worse for social distancing than baseball. Golf,
well, football,
perfect.
Football's right there. Your entire everything that you do on every play is to stop whoever has this ball. You run as fast as you can to them and try to make as much contact with them as possible.
Right. How about face shields for everybody, though? That might help. The shields where you maybe, you know, honestly.
What about a basketball? What if they developed, let me ask you a question. Would you watch sports if they developed lighter weight helmets that you had to wear? It covers your entire head but provides you oxygen. Would you watch sports if everyone had to wear, or would you go to the movies if everyone had to wear their own, not just a face mask, not just
right.
one of those cloth face masks. I mean something that fits around your neck.
No.
And a
do you see
over
what's
your head.
Going do you see what's going on at Chick-fil-A with the giant shields across their face?
I didn't see.
You haven't seen?
I'm familiar with what you're talking about.
Yeah, there's a clear shield now that covers all the way down below your chin.
I've seen medical people wear that.
Yeah.
Not people who serve fried chicken.
Now do you think it would be, though, like, I always hated Olympic boxing because they wore helmets,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean.
Headgear, yeah.
Headgear, right. Yeah, it's not real boxing if you can't punch and blow up a guy's face.
If you can't do brain damage, if you can't damage the brain,
right.
Not a real sport.
Right. And like my son-in-law, he's a NASCAR fan, and I'm like, are you watching this? He goes, no, because are you watching this simulated racing they're doing? No, because no one can die. Well, what?
Wow, NASCAR fan, you just said what we all thought was the truth.
And it's exactly true. He says there's no risk involved. It's not real. Well, no, it's virtual. Yeah, but there's without the risk, it loses all of its gas. The sport loses all its gas.
This is a generational thing, because then tell me why an entire generation can watch simulated or even video games that are played by other humans. Why can they watch that over and over and over? What's at risk there? And yet there are crowds, John. There's no way you haven't seen this. They fill up Staples Center, 20,000 seats sold within hours of tickets to go watch video game the championships. I don't know if it's I'm not even going to try to say what the championship's called, because whatever the championship is called, 20,000 people will fill it up. Will go to watch it and. Others watch online. It's unbelievable. Yeah. What's the risk there? What's at risk? And yet people watch that for some reason. I mean, in masses.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand. I'll never.
That's
understand
one
that.
I'll never. I'll just.
We'll
never,
never get,
that
though. We will never get that. We'll never understand that. So, I mean, that's something we're just going to have to get through, Lance. I can't understand kids sitting around watching other kids play video games. I just can't.
No, I do think sports, from a sports standpoint, it's good. The key is really going to be you keep seeing how everything has been pushed back. It used to be the deadlines and the timelines were pushed back. They were much tighter. Now they're becoming much more broad, where football's talking about starting in October, and we're not even technically through April. So I think there's a realization of some timelines based on medical stuff that the leagues, because the leagues are all in contact with the White House. So they have a lot of information that we don't have. And I think football believes that we will have the right amount of testing come October.
That's perfect.
But that doesn't mean fans, though. That's the problem.
No, it doesn't mean fans. It doesn't mean fans. All right, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. Come on.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm going through the list of arrests today, and I find that people are just trying to get their high on right now, and I can't blame them. Two suspects broke into Tennessee's Neyland Stadium, the big football stadium, and they stole $624 worth of beer. I'm okay with that. I mean, no, it's a victimless crime. Other than, you know, and they're just trying to get their beer on. But here's the deal: is you got to wheel out. That's a wheeling out. That takes some stones, because how many, you know, hand trucks of beer do you have to roll out for $624 worth? Now, if it's $10 a beer, if that's how they're counted, like they sell it in the stadium, then I guess that's easy. That's just a case. $624 worth. That's nothing. But if it's regular wholesale or retail in a package store, that's a lot of beer you're wheeling out. You got some stones on you.
Yeah, that's a lot of beer. If you're going to have a heist, you might as well heist.
Here's the guy in Florida. Now, this is a young kid, an 18-year-old, Chase Grimes, C-H-A-I-S-E, Chase Grimes, who didn't know. He's got long hair. He smokes weed. He broke into a convenience store, and he only stole rolling papers. I mean, that's focus now.
That's a lot of focus.
That's
what
great
you're
focus.
Telling me. Is he had his Adderall, he took his Adderall,
right.
Got his focus on, said, all right, I came here to get one thing. I'm not a thief. I just am here to get one single thing, and it's these rolling papers. And I don't consider it stealing as long as it's something that I need.
Right.
And I need something to come down from all this Adderall.
You would think if he's walking by all those Snickers bars and all those M&Ms and all of the candy that you have in convenience stores, you would think that he'd grab, but he was hyper focused. I just need these rolling papers. Actually, I don't really feel like this is. I don't have a morality issue. I need.
If he's on the Addy, he's not eating a bunch of candy. If he's on the Adderall, chomping on that Adderall.
No. But if he's on the weed, I mean, doesn't the weed kind of counteract the Addy?
And on the weed,
were you
on the weed? He's trying to get on the weed.
Well, that's true. That is true. How do you know? Do you know, though, that he didn't use up his last rolling papers?
I don't know
to commit this crime?
Nope, I don't know that.
To be hyper-focused enough to break into the convenience store?
No, nope,
I don't know.
I don't know that. Here's one thing I do know. Swinging it over back to sports for a second. General managers are talking right now about their experiences with the virtual draft, because it could still be in place next year. I don't know what they're going to do if there's no college football. Because I know it's considered bad news, you're not supposed to talk about it, but if you do, the leagues are going to have to talk about contingency plans. I mean, people who are colleges have to and all that stuff. I don't know what college football. I guess you'd have to. I don't know. I don't know if you'd take away a whole. I guess they would be eligible for the draft. I guess I don't know how the whole thing would work. I guess you have to. You couldn't just keep the same amount of people in college and then add from scholarships, whatever. But they're talking about how the things that they liked about this virtual draft experience, the things that went wrong. I can tell you this. NFL teams, there are some people. I talked to people at the NFL Network who have been in shelter in place for as long as we have. But theirs is very strict, extremely strict. And there are people who are saying, wow, we really learned a lot about how much work we could get done without having to go into a building. They learned a lot.
Learning that. I'm going to tell you who's going to be losing on this thing
when it's
all
said
and done. Yes, commercial real estate, office buildings. They're going to hurt after this, because people are going to be like, I don't need this. Mm-hmm. We got as much done, or you know, we can get what we need to get done and not rent out the space and waste the money.
Yeah, no, me and a buddy of mine are starting up a business of setting up interior office stuff, because this is going to be the big thing now. Is more, I would say 20% of the, I don't think it's going to be like 50% or anything, but I think a good 20 to 25% of the workforce is going to start working at home right now. I think that's that'll make a big difference on the roadways, where that'll be a benefit for a lot of people when traffic starts to diminish a little bit. You want to talk about some of the things that could be better? You know, they're already seeing some pollution stuff that has been much, much better. Now, that's short term, because eventually you would think everyone's going to everyone has to get back on the road at some point, or we're in a lot of trouble as a society. So eventually that'll get a little bit worse, but they've seen benefits in certain areas, especially with water and air quality. Like in China, they said it's been, in India, they said it's been astonishing, the differences in air quality. But what's really going to be, think about this, John, if you were to take even 10% off the people off the roads in any given major city, that'd be a pretty significant reduction.
Oh, absolutely.
In traffic for people who have to drive. You take 20% off, and I don't think it's crazy to think 20%. A, we've got 30 million people who file for unemployment. We're going to have a huge, huge unemployment number. Huge, right? So they're not going to be on the road to jobs typically. And then number two, and that's not good. I'm not saying that's a benefit, but I'm just saying that's the reality. And then two, a lot of people are not going to be coming into work either for safety measures or convenience, or their businesses now say, you know what, we can save money by doing exactly what you're saying, John. We can go get a virtual office somewhere, and we can get meeting rooms. You're going to see a lot more meeting centers, and a lot more meeting areas than you will full-time offices, I think.
Right. You're going to find, though, I'm going to tell you what's going to be a byproduct of that is a higher rate of obesity. If you don't have
to leave, without question,
you are going to get heavier. If you don't have to leave your home, and if you don't have to see other people, your shivigitter is going to break.
Oh, without question.
Yeah.
Without question. It's basically, Mike Judge nailed us in Idiocracy. If you've never seen that, go ahead and watch it and just realize he did that movie in the early 2000s, and you are going to be – the president was a reality television star. That's happens in the movie, and he wrote this in the 2000s. Everyone is just obese. Go watch that movie, and there you'll see some things like, when did he make this? How did he know it's going to be like this? This is astonishing. But you're right on that. I've noticed that so many people. I think that must be why the beard factor is kicking in. Why so many people are just like, I'm not shaving anymore. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not gonna wear pants anymore. Did you see the guy the other day?
Yeah.
Who did the? There was a guy who was on network
ABC.
Television.
Yeah,
ABC. He was just a reporter, a local reporter who was doing a national hit. He had a camera in his house. He was setting himself up, and he didn't have pants on, and he didn't think anyone could see it. He just had his top. You know, he had a coat and tie. He had a coat and tie. He looked legit. He looked business in the top, but the bottom was just underwear and boxers, and they could catch some leg. Like, you could see in the shot, you could see some of his right leg, and people were like, whoa, excuse me? That's what's happening.
Dude.
That's really happening.
Don't think that I didn't plenty of times on the set when I was doing local television sports in Lafayette and in Green Bay, we have shorts on with the tie and the jacket and the shirt.
If you're not going to do a stand-up, why wouldn't you?
Why would you? You don't have to.
Well,
you
what's
can
worse?
Go around the newsroom all day long in your shorts and put your tie on, and there you go, and you're ready to go. That happens way more than anybody knows.
Okay, so what's worse? You have somebody finding out that you're not wearing pants on a newscast, or a naked lady who isn't your wife is walking in the background of your newscast.
Oh, 100% naked lady. Why do you bring that up?
I didn't see that one.
There was a guy. There was a newscaster in Spain. He's doing a hit on whatever broadcast
with him, Barcelona.
This lady just she like kind of like runs a little bit fast, but not like not fast enough that she was just like a blur. She just goes across past behind the couch, and he doesn't acknowledge her or anything, but she's completely nude.
I gotta look that up right here. But first, you know how I can look it up? Because I've got electricity here in our place, and you know how I've got electricity? Because I got Champion Energy. And you know why I've got Champion Energy? Because I pay less. You know why I pay less? Because I'm with Champion Energy. You go ahead with whatever electricity provider you're with, and I'll go with mine. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to pay less. I'm going to pay less for the same thing. Why is that? Because it's with Champion. It's because it's a locally owned and operated company that just doesn't destroy you. It's just not as good. It's a greed thing. That's all it is. Because they can lure you in with nights and weekends and free this and free that and all of this stuff. But the fact of the matter is that you're going to pay less with Champion Energy. Go to champion.energy/1560, especially during these times when we're trying to keep as much money as we can. Champion.energy/1560.
ESPN 97.5.